The Drug Enforcement Administration, or DEA, recently ruled that marijuana has, quote, no accepted medical use. This came in a long overdue response to the cannabis rescheduling petition, which was successfully circulated in 2002. The petition outlines a scientific argument for why the federal government must legally recognize the accepted medical use of cannabis and regulate it in the same fashion as other pharmaceutical drugs. The DEA's hardline, and by extension, the Obama administration's, was made apparent in a memorandum for United States attorneys from Deputy Attorney General James M. Cole, dated June 29, 2011. The memo states, quote, persons who are in the business of cultivating, selling, or distributing marijuana and those who knowingly facilitate such activities are in violation of the Controlled Substances Act, regardless of state law. The state of California in 1996 was the first to legalize the medicinal use of marijuana to those who had doctor's prescriptions. Under the Bush administration, federal DEA agents famously raided California dispensaries, even those that were legal under the state, for violating federal laws. In 2009, the Obama administration announced that it would stop those raids, except in cases where traffickers, quote, falsely masqueraded as dispensaries. This latest decision is a blow to advocates of medical marijuana and legalization efforts. They claim marijuana has clear medical benefits and is no more dangerous than legal prescription medication for pain management, sleep aids, appetite stimulants, etc. Currently, marijuana is a Schedule I substance restricted solely for research purposes. However, there is a dearth of definitive studies on the medical benefits of marijuana. Some critics claim marijuana research is being prevented by federal policies. In the United States, the DEA has approved only 109 researchers to perform bona fide research with marijuana. Only 14 people are approved to conduct research with smoked marijuana on human subjects. There are a few organizations like the University of California, San Diego's Center for Medicinal Cannabis Research that are conducting and publishing research on the medicinal benefits of marijuana. My guest is Dr. J.H. Atkinson. He's the co-director of the Center for Medical Cannabis Research, and he now joins me on the phone. Welcome to Uprising.
Thanks for the invitation to join you.
So first, what do you make of this ruling, this memorandum that the Drug Enforcement Agency recently had, and that essentially is a reflection of the Obama administration's position now that marijuana has no accepted medical use?
That's a longstanding position of the federal government. Part of the research that we were commissioned by the state of California to conduct was to try to address the question of whether or not cannabis had any potential therapeutic value. As you may recall, with Proposition 215 in 1996, the state allowed for possession of small amounts of cannabis for personal medicinal use. The legislature, shortly after that, in 2000, then passed a bill which authorized funding of medicinal cannabis research center throughout the University of California system-wide campuses to attempt to address the question of whether or not there was a medicinal value, based on the notion of, the Proposition 215 authorizes its use for medicinal conditions, but does this stuff work? So very forward-thinking legislatures proposed the establishment of the center, and John Vasconcellos, former Senator John Vasconcellos, was the leader of this effort. At that point in San Diego, University of California, San Diego, was established as the headquarters of this research center, and we began with requests for proposals from throughout the state, from public or private institutions or other nonprofits, to attempt to establish a program of research. The program was directed at several conditions which the Institute of Medicine has thought might be most likely to be responsive to the cannabinoids. And these were chronic pain states and chemotherapy-associated nausea and vomiting and spasm and multiple sclerosis. So we highlighted these conditions as the topics for our research, and over the past 10 years then have mounted 15 different studies to address aspects of pain, nausea and vomiting, and muscle spasm and pain and multiple sclerosis. Mm-hmm. So that's a long answer to, is there therapeutic value? Mm-hmm. The short answer is that it looks like for certain types of pain conditions, and we focused on a painful condition called neuropathy, that is, its source is an illness or injury to the central or peripheral nervous system that results in painful tingling in the feet or hands and is rather unresponsive to conventional treatments and therefore is an ideal target for a novel approach. In short, four different CMCR studies suggest that cannabis may have a therapeutic value in this particular pain syndrome. It reduces pain by about 30% in about half of the individuals who use cannabis.
And how did those numbers compare to, say, conventional medication?
It's roughly equivalent to the antidepressants, some of the antidepressants mm-hmm. and anticonvulsants that are also used for neuropathy pain, not quite as effective as the opioids. But I think what was interesting about the CMCR studies in one instance was that most of the individuals who participated in these studies had not received satisfactory relief on standard treatment and were taking these standard treatments at the time of their participation in the trial. So the cannabis, if you will, provided additional relief beyond what they had already been receiving from standard care.
Now, given the statistics of success of conventional medication, as well as some of the dangerous side effects that we see from a whole host of pharmaceutical-approved legal drugs, how do you assess the government approach to marijuana? Does it seem as though this one substance is being singled out and its dangers or narcotic effects overblown?
Let me focus on the scientific approach to mm-hmm. it. The impact of the scheduling of cannabis as an agent without medicinal value impedes research because it makes it very difficult to conduct studies in this area. That would be the ultimate way to try to answer that question of really how helpful is cannabis, what are its liabilities and limitations. There's no doubt that it can be misused and abused.
Well, let me put it this way then. Are there studies that the federal government is relying on to make their case that cannabis is that much more dangerous compared particularly to other legally approved pharmaceutical drugs?
I don't know of head-to-head comparisons, but there are no end of reports either by those who advocate cannabis saying that it's safe and without hazard, and those who are take the adversarial position that it has many harms, medical health harms.
But are there actually scientific studies proving that it is justifies the federal government's strong position?
I think that the positions on cannabis often are a mix of politics and science, and it depends on what side of the data that you're on, how you interpret the science that's been done. So there's no question that there are data that indicates that cannabis has harms and liabilities. Are they overblown? I think only more research will tell. But this is not an area that is solely guided by scientific findings. Again,
right.
Depending on which side of cannabis you're on, one can debunk the study that says there are harms or debunk the studies that says there are only a few harms.
So you said more research is needed. On the state level here in California, your organization is a testament to at least some state resources to try to look into these questions, but on the federal level, what are the challenges on just doing the research to either prove one way or another whether marijuana has medicinal benefits?
Well, one thing about the Center for Medicinal Cannabis Research is that it was a strong collaborative effort between the state and the federal government.
But that was 10 years ago.
That was 10 years ago and has persisted, at least for the duration of our studies. All of our protocols went through a rigorous scientific review by an international panel of experts that the center established. These protocols were then sent for scientific review at the Department of Health and Human Services, at the National Institute on Drug Abuse, at the Food and Drug Administration, and finally for regulatory matters to the Drug Enforcement Agency. So there was a strong collaboration all across the board to have these protocols reviewed and approved. And after all of these scientific and regulatory approvals were gathered, then we were provided cannabis from the National Institute on Drug Abuse for research purposes to conduct these studies using the desired potencies that the research called for. So, and that collaboration has continued up to the present. We're just finishing up our final two studies.
Well, just given how little information is available to particularly cancer and HIV patients and other people who might be interested in trying trying marijuana for medicinal purposes because their other drugs have not succeeded, what sort of challenges do patients face, right? Because if they're not lucky enough to be part of the studies or part of the clinical trials that organizations like yours are conducting, they may not have, or if they aren't lucky enough to live in a state like California, they may not have access to marijuana to even attempt to try it for medical purposes?
It is a difficult issue. Yes, our research was privileged in that we knew what we were getting. We ordered cigarettes or cannabis of certain potencies.
Right. It's hard for them, hard for people to have to judge dosages on their own.
That's right. And it puts the patient and it puts physicians who might be asking themselves, should I recommend cannabis for a patient with a difficult pain problem, for example, puts that physician in an awkward position because most would be reluctant to say, well, go out on the street and or to a dispensary, and it may be that one doesn't know what one's getting and what's the dose, what's the amount, what are the possible complications to its use. So I think that for that reason, many physicians are reluctant to recommend a trial of an unknown agent in their mind.
Well, finally, Dr. Atkinson, when are the results of your studies due, and what sort of applications do you think there may come from the results?
So most results have already been published in the scientific literature. They're also available in a report that we submitted in February of 2010 to the state legislature, and are available on the Center for Medicinal Cannabis website.
And do the results reflect the type of results you mentioned on the neuropathy studies?
Yes. It also mentions that these are small trials, but the fact that even though the number of patients were limited, say no more than 150 total across all studies, the fact that we got rather consistent results in different settings at the University of California, San Francisco, University of California, Davis, University of California, San Diego, suggests to us that it's just not a fluke of a particular patient that exists in one town but not another, or the particular talents of the investigative team, but that there may be something really rather solid and worth pursuing to these findings.
In terms of the medicinal benefits of marijuana.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And then our final two studies also in different kinds of neuropathy pain, one in neuropathy from diabetes and the other in neuropathy, again, from infectious or direct trauma to nerves, are just now finishing up. So we hope to have those submitted for scientific publication sometime in in early 2012.
Well, Dr. Atkinson, I want to thank you very much for joining us today. Is your organization's website a good place for people to find out more?
Yes, absolutely. www.cmcr.ucsd.edu.
That's cmcr.ucsd.edu, and we'll post that on uprisingradio.org later today. Dr. Atkinson, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
Dr. J.H. Atkinson is the co-director of the Center for Medicinal Cannabis Research at the University of California, San Diego. Again, that website, cmcr.ucsd.edu.